our lesson tonight is prosper. I've causing us to prosper.
Maybe Ezekiel 16th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. I clothe thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thine hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thine renown went forth from among the heathens for thine beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. It was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. The 10th verse to the 14th verse of chapter 16 of Ezekiel. God causing them to prosper. You know, God found us, a lot of us, in the condition that we're in, just like Israel was in that awful condition that it was in when God found it. And God caused a lot of us to prosper, took us from that old house wherever we were. He took us and put us in a good place. He kept us. He's clothed us. He's given us an income. A lot of us have incomes that we didn't have before. Israel, he founded Israel, and they were the parents of Hittites and Amorites. A lot of us, God has done the same for, caused us to rise up in life and have nice homes, apartments, or whatever they may be. A place to stay, jobs, some sort of finances, children. He did the best for them. He clothed them and they become envious of a lot of other nations, was envious of them. All this was through something God just chose to do for them. We see this nation, a lot of people have. This is one of the most prosperous nations on the earth. But just like Israel, they don't realize the blessings that God gives them every day and that we enjoy every day. Blessings and thanksgiving from God. And in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was blessing the people in the 14th chapter of Matthew, the 19th verse, he said, then he ordered the crowds to recline on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and blessed and broke the loaves and handed the pieces to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. Jesus here gave an open and a public thanks to God, revealing the importance of acknowledging God and giving grace for what God had provided, and that everything comes from God. He had multiplied the loaves, just like God giving us food and raiment and stuff. And I don't know if we take time and acknowledge these things that's coming from God and give God the thanks and acknowledgement that he's really doing these things, or what we're doing with the resources that God has blessed us with. People who neglect a close relationship with God, those that take it for granted or just use it through piety and say what God is doing, they fail to appreciate his daily workings and miracles in their lives. And because Paul wrote in the book of Romans, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Yet he commands the saints in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. There was a man that had a lot of barns, and he built bigger barns, and God was causing him to prosper, but that man was looking to his wealth instead of looking to God. God called this man a fool, not an intellectual fool, not one that would, when he's talking here of a fool, he's not talking intellectually, because Apparently he was a pretty smart and good businessman. But being a fool in the fact that he did not know God, his soul wasn't prepared, you know, his soul wasn't in a condition to receive God. And that the things that we're getting, why are we getting those things? Why do God bless some of us? Now, I'm not talking about the whole world, because God says it rains on the just and the unjust. But why are you thankful for the particular blessing God gives to us, that you receive in God? This tells whether you've been born again or not. And Israel didn't realize when God said how he brought them and what he was doing for them, what that statement was, or what God was talking about. Because we see the wicked it prosper also. Job talking about the wicked it prospering. So there's no way to tell a lot of times, you know, on these things. But what makes us feel that is God doing these things for us? It should center, if you're born again in your spirit, you start acknowledging that God is doing these things for us because we're Abraham's offspring, because of the promise of God. In Genesis 27 chapter, the 28th through the 29th verse, "So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled his clothing and blessed him and said, 'The scent of my son is as the odor of a field which the Lord has blessed. And may God give you of the dew of the heavens and of the fatness of the earth, and abundance of grain and new wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers and let your mother's sons,'" listen to that, he says, "'let your mother's sons bow down to you. Let everyone who curses you and be cursed, and everyone that favors you with blessings be blessed. With blessings who bless you.'" So that's one reason, if we look at those two words there, for not going around cursing or talking about people, because you don't know who's children of God. And if that's a child of God and you pronouncing curses against them, then it works as, just like it did for Balaam, it works as a curse toward you for cursing a child of God. That's one of the reasons we don't enter into judgments. But he says, favorites with blessings to those who bless you. We don't want to get in the habit of going around, as some of the prosperity gospel churches tell us, we're telling everyone they're blessed or whatever, because it's also a sin to call evil good. And all blessings are not necessarily from God as a blessing. Some things that given to you or God allows you to get, it's also for condemning you. Prosperity will destroy the fool. A lot of people get a lot of things or have a lot of things God has blessed them with, and they use it the wrong way, and it becomes a curse to them. Notably, when God said this blessing to Jacob, in Jacob we were blessed, just like in Abraham we were blessed. So this is to the Abraham, the same blessing that he gave Abraham, it was coming through Isaac and Jacob upon the people of God, all of those that were by faith. That's why I said, if you look at that, it says sons. Jacob didn't have sons at that time. But he said, sons. And notably, this blessing of wealth and power, it includes, if I go back and read it, you'll see it includes wealth and power. That's authority over your brethren. That's authority over other nations. That's authority over other people. But it also includes abundance of wealth. And said other nations and peoples would serve Israel, and Israel's posterity would have an eminent place among the nations. Now, just like he said that by his comeliness, a lot of nations had came unto him and 14 verse, "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God." A lot of your neighbors or people around you or whatever, telling you about the Lord is with you, calling you a Christian or whatever. You take that, and it a lot of times it gets you away from the Lord, because if it's a blessing from God, why would you share that blessing with the heathen in the wrong way? See, a lot of times God has given us blessings for us to enjoy and to glorify Him by, and we turn around and have evil associations along with that blessing. Now, you're going to have to listen closely tonight, because that's kind of, it has some ambiguity there, because we are, as God blesses us, we are to do good to those that are in need or whatever. But to be a fine Christian, to be upright Christian, you have to know those that God's telling you to bless. You don't just share your wealth or share that which God has given you with anybody that's living any kind of way without some consultation with God or provision with God. That's what Joshua did. He made a covenant with the Jebusites. God had told him not to make a covenant, a league with the people, but just because the Jebusites acted like they were poor and not from around there, he went out of his way to do something for them. It ended up to be sin. So we have to be walking in the counsel of God. We have to realize who we're serving and who had given us power to get that wealth. However, there's something else here. Jacob's mother had only two sons, Jacob himself, of course, and Esau. Yet Isaac, speaking to Jacob, used the words sons as plural, as if Jacob had more than one brother. In fact, God's word says nothing of Rebekah having three or more sons. This perplexes us as much as it would have perplexed Jacob when he heard these words. Why does Isaac use this language as sons? I tell you in that 29th verse, he says, "Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be masters over your brothers and let your mother's sons bow down to you." Clearly, Isaac is speaking of Abraham's extended family. The word brethren, which is an old form of the plural of brother, refers to all of the descendants of Abraham. Those that's through Hagar, Keturah. You know, Abraham had another wife after Sarah passed. Abraham had children by Keturah, as well as descendants of Esau himself, because you remember the blessings that God had given Esau when Jacob met Esau. He came back and he was trying to bribe Esau, give Esau something to not bother him. But Esau says, "I have more than plenty. God had blessed me." That was the promise God had made to Hagar when Sarah had put her out. What did God say? "I'll make Ishmael, I'll make him a nation." See, this is not respective of just the Jews, yet and still a lot of preachers and false prophets and things be telling you about Israel or the Jews or whatever. But the promise to Abraham was to his posterity. In other words, those that believed on God through faith. That's any nationality, creed, or ethnic group. That's not just Israel or the Jews. The blessing here raises the idea of universal domination. In other words, God's people will rise up, as in this dream that Daniel had said about the beast that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the image of the idol of bronze, brass, gold, the 10 toes, and that the people of God was to smite that image. In other words, the people of the kingdom of God is spread throughout the world, and that's rising to power. That's the rock that was cut out without man's hand. That's what all our brethren worldwide are rising up. God's church is rising up at this hour. That's why it doesn't, you know, a lot of times people are bothered by the size of the church or the particular size of the congregation that they're in. That's not too particular strange, because what happens is the church is getting more powerful than ever, and all that's in the church, just like Paul said, all that is in Israel is not of Israel. All that's in a particular church doesn't belong to the true church now. So you should see God working, and that God's getting stronger, and that his people are getting stronger and much more being accomplished because God's blessing is flowing to his people, and you should see it in your life, physically and spiritually, whereas here, this was a simile for those that would come of Abraham's seed by faith. So this wealth and power, that there's going to be a transferal of wealth and power in the latter days. That God's people is going to rise up and dominate worldwide through one world government. Whereas that what's happening is they're trying to tell you that this is the Antichrist that's going to rise up. But no, it's God's government that's God's people going to rise up. They're going to be persecuted, but they'll rise up. So, therefore, the blessing points to future generations, not just to those of the lifetime of Jacob himself. Its thrust is for the Israel of a future. Now, if we look at Genesis 28:13-14, and it says, "And behold, the Lord stood over beside him and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, your forefather, the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you're lying." That's Jacob when he's running from Esau. And that ladder is depicted coming down and angels descending up and down. And God says, I'll give the land on which you're lying to you and your descendants. Your offspring shall be as countless as the dust of the sand of the ground, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, and by you your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed and bless themselves. All of the earth, from east to west, north to south. Not this little place called Israel over in Jerusalem over there in the Middle East. He's saying a worldwide blessing. This is the same physical problem. This is the same promise he's given to Abraham, but it's going to be filled spiritually through physical people. This is the same as the kingdom of David that he promised in covenant to David, the kingdom of God. And God's people go people this kingdom, so the promise to Abraham geographically is being repeated here to Jacob while he's on the run and to his descendants, all those that are of faith, Jew or Gentile. Watch these preachers that's trying to single it out and just make this to the Jews. Because that's why he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. Because it was going to be many nations that Abraham was going to be fathers of. Genesis 28:13-14 reinstates that promise. Notice that these promises are the same one God made to Abraham about this seed. And listen, he says, and south and seed, Jesus Christ who would bless all nations. It is also extremely important to note that the earth's families would be blessed in you and in your seed. That is, in Christ. That's to all of us in Christ that blessing is extended to. We have to all be in Christ. That's the promised Redeemer that started way back with Eve in the garden when he promised her a seed that would bruise the head of the serpent. That's the promised seed, which is Christ. We have to be in Christ. That's to become co-heirs and joint heirs there. The blessing were to come not only as a result of Jacob's posterity, or even as a result of Christ's work, but of something Jacob himself was to do. In other words, we all have something to do. Faith has works. There's works that we do when we are born again, or born of the Spirit. There's a prophecy that Balaam gave when he was called to curse the children of Israel. And this is God prospering the people in faith. And giving the people, but the people rebelling just as they is today. When God causes a lot of us to get wealth, we bring in people that's living in any kind of way. A lot of us living in nice homes, driving nice cars, having nice jobs or whatever. But we don't care who that we bring along with us. We're not selective in that. We're not selective in that. You have to tell people, the Lord has given me these things, and you help people or whatever, but you can't make it a habitual thing to help the same people consistently that don't turn to God. That's what I was telling you about the other day when this guy was telling me about the Lord had given us this day. And okay, if you realize God had doing that, well, what are you doing in return for God? If God's giving that to you, and you're not just talking or running your mouth, what are you returning in? Are you living still in any kind of way? If you read the rest of this chapter, that's what God comes out about. What are you doing about that? It says, Deuteronomy 32 and 15. But Jezron, he's using another name for Israel here. He's calling Israel Jezron. Jezron grew fat and kicked. You became fat, you grew thick, you were gorged and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and forsook and despised the rock of his salvation. Many of people today, they get to working, they get to doing things. They don't give to God like they used to. They start piling up wealth for themselves. They start putting things in their own home. They start looking for their own vehicles. They start spending money on other people, not on God, God's sanctuary, God's people, the things of God go under. You'll do something for somebody that's in sin before you do something for a child of God. You'll help the world before you taking God's blessing that he had given you to be a steward over. You know, nothing you have is actually yours. That 100%, you're just giving God his percentage back when you tithe or give an offering. The whole thing belongs to the Lord. It all belongs to the Lord. He's allowing you to use a percentage of it, but you have to be a wise and faithful steward of that percentage he allows you to use, and don't take his portion. This prophecy regarding Israel confirms the power and influence of wealth. For a Christian today living in a society whose wealth far exceeds the dreams a lot of nations, a lot of people God have, do we take time and thank God that these blessings that he had blessed us through Abraham, do it change our attitude toward God, or are we carrying on life the same as it is? Well, don't look like we've been born again. We're not living that way. Nobody could say that we are born again and there's a difference between us and the world. You have to put a difference between us and the world. Else you would have to pray to God as Agur did in the book of Proverbs 30 in the 8th through the 9th chapter. It says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food you prescribe for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Unless I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You don't want too much to where he's securing his wealth and the things he has. But he don't want to be too poor where he always got to strive to try to get hold to this living from payday to payday. And he don't have time for God and his mind is not on God. It's on trying to eke out a living. You see, there's a happy medium, learning to be content with what thou have and being a good steward of the resources God had given you. How can I cut back in this area? How can I can't live this way. I can't do this. What's wrong with my life? Because God had given us more sufficiency than anything else. It's just that we're not using it right. The world and the church and Laodiceanism. The world, the church, and Laodiceanism. Romans 10 and 17 says, and it says, faith does not come through a natural genetic process. Don't we know that? That just because you have faith doesn't mean you people else, your sisters or brothers would have faith. Does it? You see that in some families. And God was set forth as a propitiation. We read that last week, Romans 3 and 25, that God was set, Jesus Christ was set forth as a propitiation for our sins. But we have to be, says, for whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. In other words, you have to accept the blood of Christ to be born into his family. You adopted into that family once you're in Christ through his blood. That meant you don't have family relationship like you used to have. You're like Jesus Christ. Who is my father, my sister, my brother? Those that do the will of the Father. That's the transformation. You're no longer looking at those in the world the same. And see, a lot of people construct that so that you do say, well, he actually don't mean hate. Do he? He mean that your life has to have a transforming effect. And if those around you realize and know that, they'll treat you differently and your word will carry much more power. But other than that, you'll be powerless and weak and you won't be a good testimony to those around you. That's why the Christians, a lot of people that are in the churches, and that's why I say just because you're in the church doesn't mean that you're saved or that you're born again. You're just a professing Christian. You're not a true Christian. You're a powerless Christian. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power by the life you're living. Your life is not prospering, or you're not growing in faith, and you don't have respect of the people around you. You're a miserable wreck, and you can't find comfort anyway. That's a worse position, because at least the people in the world are enjoying their prosperity and the things in this life, because that's all they have is the things in this life. They have nothing to come. But you don't even realize you don't have nothing to come, and you're miserable in this life because you're living something that you're not, and still are being honest with yourself that you're not walking the way you're supposed to be walking. You can't even see that. Christ's disciples had asked him to increase their faith, exhibit their understanding that God does not go through a genetic phase, a genetic way. God shows no partiality. He has no proclivity to limit his giving and increasing of faith to a particular racial stock. It's not by race. You see equalization, and you see race wars throughout the world changing. And that's one thing that's going to break this United States in the middle. That's going to be a fighting point coming up in the years, months and years to come. That has a great divide coming, but the cowards that's in the church that are not ready to fight this battle, that are not preparing, not being thankful to God for who he made them, what he made them, and to take a stand and come in this battle and battle this battle. You're not fighting against flesh and blood, it's against principalities. That principality may be in your spouse, it may be in your children, it may be in anything. That's why it says you have to hate these things. Even if it's in you, you have to hate self, deny thine self, and take up your cross and follow him. But see, it's a lot of people not doing that. You hate to see this happen to people that you know and a so-called brethren in the faith. But you can feel their weaknesses, and you constantly warn, preach and teach to them, exhort. You admonish them. If a brother's in a fault, you go to him. We're trying to say, brother, I love you, but you're going down the wrong way. We're trying to restore the health of one another. God gives his church and his people discernment to be able to help one another. In his time, then, God made faith available to the Gentiles, and with it, spiritual salvation, which is a taproot in faith. He made Jesus Christ a light unto the Gentiles. See, he had no racial preference. That's why he told them that they wasn't sons of Abraham. He says, you of your father the devil. He told them, standing there, that they was of the father the devil. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. it coming upon the Gentiles, this promise to the descendants of Abraham, the promise that he reiterated to Isaac, the promise that he reiterated to Jacob, that's the promise of land, wealth, power, and spiritual resources. These are birthright blessings. This is something in the Old Testament that was physical. We're looking at is a spiritual blessing here. That God's people are being strengthened and they having that boldness that Peter proclaimed. That boldness when the Spirit comes gives you to not cower down or be afraid. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. We should be thankful to God, and a lot of us don't see Him giving us these things. And He giving it to you and you giving it away. A lot of us are never accomplished nothing. There are men and women that have been working on jobs for years and years, still don't have anything out of life. They hadn't gotten any land. They hadn't gotten any assets. They hadn't got respect. They're living just like a teenager that just started to work. God causes you to store up wealth. God causes you to give out wealth. God causes you to be the head and not the tail. You shouldn't go around broke all the time. Now, if God has you in that situation, it's a reason He has you in that situation. And a purpose. All of us weren't made to be wealthy now. So I'm not just preaching a prosperity gospel, but there would be contentment in that situation, and you would be glorifying God in that situation. You would be trying to help others in that situation and not giving out pity parties to somebody feeling sorry for you. Peter says as much to the gathered church in Jerusalem in Acts 11 and 17 through 18. He connects the gift given to the Gentiles with belief and faith in Christ. If therefore God gave them, the Gentiles, the same gift He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. The same gift He gave to the Jews, He gave to the Gentiles. Peter said, who am I to deny or withstand God? You don't have to be in the condition you are. If you would give thanks to God and acknowledge, God would open your eyes to see that you should be walking in the kingdom. You should be walking with power and authority. You should have your head up. You should be resting in Christ. But that's not how I see a whole lot of the church. The whole lot of the church is given in to the beggarly elements of the world. And the world is controlling the churches. A lot of the churches, the world, have more power and authority than the people that's been in church for years. God's Israel crosses natural, racial, or ethnic distinction. The faithful of any race make up the Israel of God. That's why Paul said all of Israel is not Israel, because those of faith make up the Israel of God. These are faithful who receive the blessings of Abraham. That's in Galatians 3 and 14. Those are the faithful who receive the blessings of Abraham. Blessings physical and spiritual. Blessings physical and spiritual. Proverbs 3:9-18. I'm going to read that because... See, they enjoyed only the spirit, the physical blessings in the Old Testament. Whereas these blessings that God gave us is both physical and spiritual. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labor and with the first fruits of all of your income. In other words, he says from righteous labor, not from crooked stuff. You don't want the money of a hire of a dog in the house of the Lord. Like I tell you, all money ain't good money. Don't labor any kind of way and just bring the money to the house of God. But it says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency and with the first fruits of your income. Don't go spend all this and then say, okay, let me gather up God's part of that. The show you your faith, God's part comes out first. The first fruits. God wants the first fruit, not the leftover. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall overflow with new wine. If you honor God, if you follow God this way, he says, so shall your storage places, your homes shall be filled, your body shall be filled, your vats shall overflow with new wine. The Spirit shall continually work through you. My son, do not despise or shrink from the chastening of the Lord, his correction by punishment or by subjection to suffering or trial. Neither be weary of impatient about a loath or abhor his reproof. Because a lot of us, when we're not doing what God says, he's going to chasten us. He's going to cause poverty in our life. He's going to cause suffering in our life. He's going to bring it to try to get you to understand you're doing something wrong. He's trying to get your attention. He says, don't despise that. But a lot of people, they're so physical that they're not thinking that this is a spiritual thing and it's something I'm doing wrong. But see, they got a physical mentality and they think they could overcome everything in the flesh. And they just try to power it through that self. God has to break that self. And that's why I say, that's why a lot of saints end up dying. That's why a lot of saints end up sick. Because God has to completely break them to humble them. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he... You need to be praying, you need to be reading and studying the Bible, because things happen for a reason and a purpose. God had materially blessed you real good, but you're not returning the spiritual faith. You're not walking in the way he say walk. It's not anything wrong in the things that you've been doing in self, but it's that God's left out of it. God has to be in what you're doing. God has to be the nucleus. In other words, the center of that. Happy, blessed, fortunate, or enviable is the man who finds a skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. From life and studying God's word, I can be happy and live a godly life through wisdom and understanding of God. Blessed is that man. That's why other people that's not in church or anything, and they think they're upright or think that they have some kind of moral character or rectitude, I shy away from if they're not doing this according to the word of God. It has to be done according to his word. Because he said, if you continue in my word, there's prosperity outside his word. Satan prospers a lot. That was one argument that Job had about the wicked and prosper and they grow into old age and different things. Other people, there are a lot of crooked people out there that's doing all kinds of things that have new cars and houses and wealth and stuff, popularity and stuff. That's God doesn't set aside success like that. God is to give. A lot of time he's giving them those things, but they're going to have to give account for those. Those things only condemn them. That's why I say, sometime a blessing could be a curse. Sometime you can get that spouse that you wanted. You could get whatever you was coveting after of it. But when you receive it, it becomes sin, because lust had conceived and lust bringeth forth sin. When it's consummated, it is sin. That's why a lot of times you get in a lot of relationship to somebody you thought you really wanted. It's not fulfilling to you. You get that car, that home, that job, or whatever you were coveting or running out. You're not fulfilled. You're not happy with it. Skillful. For the gaining of it is better than gaining of silver, and the profit of it is better than fine gold. Skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her. Happy and blessed is everyone who holds fast. By paying to God what we owe him, he rewards us with blessings, physical and spiritual. Christians often find that when they give to God, when they at their worst, is when God blesses them the most, when they could really understand God. Don't shy away from the giving of God what you're supposed to give to him. There are not always material blessings, however. storing up spiritual treasures in heaven is far more important than physical. A lot of times, you don't see it as the prosperity preachers preach, God giving it back to you at this time. But what you're doing is laying up treasure in heaven. He'll give that back to you sometime you see it up on this earth, because he wants you to prosper. But a lot of times you don't prosper up on this earth, in this life, because you wouldn't use it the right way. You would use it to further corrupt yourself and corrupt others, not being thankful to God. And that's what we see if we read, starting at verse 15 on through, that these people use what God had given them the wrong way. And it caused them to be condemned because they wasn't thankful. If they were thankful to God, they would do about what they're getting according to this, what Solomon said here in Proverbs, according to God's word. God does not promise to make us wealthy, but our relationship with him will prosper. So don't listen to all those people. And there's a servant relationship in serving God, and we are that bond servant of God, not of us. God is not of our servant. We are God's servant, and that's what Jesus said. He came to do, to serve God, and we should be serving God. God doesn't go by emotions. That's the reason Jesus Christ comes. God can't feel. He don't have human emotions as we have. Jesus Christ displayed and showed emotions. God can't feel. That's why he sent Christ, that mediator. That's what Job would say. How can a man counsel with God? I would need a mediator to go before God. Christ is that mediator. He was a man. He could feel. He got hungry. God doesn't get hungry. God says if he were hungry, he wouldn't tell us to count on 1,000 hills of his. He don't take pleasure in our offerings and sacrifices. He say a body is what I require. So we have to start looking at these the right way. Isaac sowed during a time of famine, and he reaped 100-fold. Whereas Abraham left the land and went to Egypt during the time of famine. Remember? In Genesis 26, 1 through 12, we're going to skip a few verses and go through the 12th one. But Genesis 26 started at the first verse. And there was a famine in the land other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now comes a famine during Abraham's son's days, Isaac. And Isaac went out to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I tell you. Dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and will favor you with blessings. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your posterity all these lands. In other words, all these kingdoms, everything where you're starving at now, everything where there's a famine at now, I'll end up giving them to you. If you just trust me and follow after me, I'll bless you. And by your offspring shall all nations of the earth. Did he say to Israel or the Jews, or did he say, by your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, by him bless themselves. Now, Isaac was a type of Christ, the sacrificial child. You remember, he was a type that was offered up by the Father. Jesus Christ was that type. And through Jesus Christ, all of us shall be blessed. Let me be famine. Do not leave where God has you at. Don't leave the place where God has you at, trusting God and follow him. He says, for Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, and my laws. What's important here is while God's blessing you and keeping you, he says, keep my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. It's important while God's blessing you that you do those things. So Isaac stayed at Gerar. Verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. Just give according to how God had blessed you. Have any of y'all this year really lacked for anything since you've been paying tithes and offerings? Have you been short of anything? Have your utilities been off? Have you been hungry? Have you had any problems? You're going to have problems during the famine, during times, but do you see God working? You hadn't missed a beat. When you start missing those beats, that shows you're not walking His commandments and statutes. When you start missing, it starts getting bad, and you start robbing Peter to pay Paul. You get off, and God's chastening you because you're not trusting in God. You're trusting in man. You're living according to the flesh. Pharaoh and Potiphar both all had placed all their head in Joseph's hand when they saw God was with him. See, God's going to be with you. That's why a lot of times when God's with you, you have to stay in God and discern things in God, because there's a lot of people going to try to get what you got. You got a car, they're going to want that car. You got a house, they're going to want that house. You got money, they're going to want to get in your pocket. When people see you, they after that anointing. They after, because people can tell, and they all are, I know you got money, I know you got money. They tell you that's all that they're after. And you big enough fool to keep shouting it out, and you see it's going bad on you. It's going south. But listen at this. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain and the chief executioner of the royal guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. But the Lord was with Joseph, and though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to flourish and succeed in his hand. So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight, and he served him. And his master made him supervisor over his house and put him over all that he had in charge. And from the time that he made him supervisor in his own house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the Lord's blessing went on all that land he had and in the field. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge and paid no attention to anything he had except the food he ate. And now Joseph was an attractive in person and a fine-looking young man. People are going to try to hold on to you when they see that God's blessing you, because they're along for the ride. They will want something. They always, and if you're not smart, you could be the one doing all the work. They could be taking it easy and enjoying and reaping the benefits of it. And you not could see that God's actually then bless you and that you should be living at ease. You're living like a pauper and your father's a king. You didn't work yourself to death. You didn't try to please this and please that. But God's with you. Other people see that, but you don't see that. These people God's talking about, he kept blessing them and giving to them, but they didn't see God was with them. God was continually blessed. Genesis 41:37-46. And the plan seemed good in the eyes of Pharaoh and of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find this man's equal, a man in whom the Spirit of God is in? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as your God has showed you all this, there is nobody as intelligent and discreet and understanding and wise as you are. You shall have charge over my house, and all my people shall be governed according to your word with reverence, submission, obedience, and only in matters of the throne will I be greater than you are. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in official vestments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and officials cried before him, bow the knee, and set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph named Zaphnath-Phinehas, and he gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph made inspection too of all the land of Egypt. Joseph, who had been in in Egypt, 13 years, was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh about his duties throughout the land. Put him in charge. God's, the people of the world are starting to turn the earth over to the people that they see that God's working with. If you can't see this through the Arab Spring uprising, if you can't see that in this nation, you can't see that in the world, that God's people are rising up. Just as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego rose to positions of prominence because of the Spirit of God was upon them. God's giving into our hands, only those that are wise will grow and start to become brighter and brighter in the Lord. See, but during this time, though, there's going to be prosecution, and God's going to turn his holy ones over to the children of the kingdom. In other words, over to the evil one, the wicked one. The Antichrist is on the scene at this same time, imprisoning those that are weak. Those that are not reading and walking in God's way are being cast and trod underfoot. It's a lot of saints of God that are dying today. It's a lot of saints of God that are working and can't make ends meet. But these are the ones that are not obedient to God. They shouldn't despise a night, not like, it's their own fault that they're living the way. It's their own fault that they're falling for a lack, because those that are in the trenches that are fighting about that these things happen to, God had designed it for that way for them to be able to take this. That they have contentment. Now, you have to, like I say, you have to understand when I'm preaching or teaching tonight, that when I say it's your own fault or whatever, that there is a purpose God is allowing them happening. And that if you walk in the calling and vocation wherewith God has called you, you'll be like Paul and Silas. They rejoiced when they were beaten and thrown into a dungeon and into prison. Then they sing songs and hymns because they know that was the pattern God had caused them to walk. When Peter was crucified, he wasn't griping and complaining. You have too many whining saints today that when something happens to them, they're whining and crying. You have to, this is the way God made it for you to be. You have to give God glory in these things. Don't come with these pity party stuff. You should glorify God in all things. Peter was afraid of the catch of fish when Jesus told him to cast the net on the other side of the boat. They caught a load they had so severe that they had to break the nets. See, God was with them. God's giving unto our hands. He said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. See, because God will rain down blessings in your life. Peter had been toiling all night and couldn't catch anything. And Peter was an experienced fisherman. A lot of us today are just like Peter. We're working and ain't getting anywhere. If we were just listening at God's word, what God's servants are preaching and teaching to you, and just stand up, God would cause so many blessings to come into your life, you won't be even able to contain. He says, hereby test me therewith. Bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, and I'll pour you a blessing that you won't be able to contain. We will not listen at God. The Laodicean was rich and had sufficiency, and they didn't know God. God had blessed them. These people thought they didn't have need of anything. But they wasn't thankful to God, and they didn't know they were poor, wretched, and naked. That's from being unthankful. You could be in a nice home. You could have a nice job. But still, you're not prospering in the Lord because you're like that guy that was building bigger barns. What condition your soul in? Are you following his statutes and commandments and precepts? That's why I was telling my son, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have. We don't preach against prosperity. God say, I wish you would prosper and be in health. He want all these things for you. Some of them he may not give to you in this life, but you understand what I'm saying here, right? Hopefully you understand these things. Perhaps Solomon's wisdom was complicated with Solomon, and Solomon was not cognizant that the Lord had told him about these strange women. And he had appeared to Solomon twice and told Solomon about this, and Solomon yet and still went against God and didn't keep his laws and commandments. Became one of the foolishest men in history. And God had made him the wisest man of all. He wrote a book like Ecclesiastes, all is vanity and vexation of spirits. Because he was like Samson. He thought he was a strong man, and these women had him eating out their hands, and he didn't even see it. When you go against God, the God of this world is allowed to blind your eyes to where you can't see God. There's a veil over your eyes. Health, prosperity, family, and occupation, in fact, the only thing it does not mention is knowing God. Those things. See, because a lot of people have stuff, but God says in the book of Deuteronomy that he was going to give us power to get wealth. But as we get that wealth, see, if you're with God, you should start winning. There's an article on the internet, this guy said that the worst thing he did was win the lottery. He had won $100 million. It changed his life. He was full of consistent suits. People were suing him and all that. But Solomon told him that prosperity will destroy a fool. That's why in the book of Timothy, Paul tells him to beware of quick riches and these rich, quick rich schemes like these people running to play the lottery and things. We'll close with that. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, starting at the first verse. But understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times. In other words, this will set in among the people. Times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. Lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, in other words, greedy desire for wealth. Wanting to be rich, wanting everything they see, not satisfied with anything. Proud and arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. That is, taking that which is holy, desecrating it, profaning the holy. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman. Relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderous, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, loose in morals and... It's a shame before God. But Timothy told us, Paul told Timothy that these things would be going on in the last days. Uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, inflated with self-conceit. Lovers of sensual pleasure and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. They will be spending so much money on the Super Bowls and things, on after parties and the Super Bowl party and all this. They'll bring that into the church. Most churches go have big screen televisions and things. Super Bowl Sunday, they will call it. The games will get more attention than God does. We're given to our amusement, to having a good time. Oh, it's Friday, it's Saturday, it's payday. A good time. Go out bowling, go out eating, all these things. Put God on the back burner. Let's just, I've been working all week, I've been working a couple of weeks, and we just want to have a good time. To heck with it. Let's just go out and have a big dinner. Forget God. We'll give him something another time. That's what, see, God says, for although they hold a form of God, they hold a form of piety. In other words, they act religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. In other words, their conduct belies the genuineness of their faith. The way they live it. You can tell it in the way they live their lives that they're not faithful to God. I can tell it in your walk. See, you can say you this and that there, but your life's going to tell it. How your walk is, how you doing, how you living. He says, avoid all such people. Turn away from them. That's why I tell you, I avoid people. I avoid a lot of people. I turn and go the other way. Not getting tied up with that. It's the wrong people to get tied. And in this day and age, stay away from that familiar. He says, for among them are...
They're going to lead captive these people by their preaching teeth. That's why the most churches are bursting at the doors. But they're unconverted people. God called them adulterers and adulteresses. God says they're nothing but fornicators. He used the sexual idiom of this to show that they were unfaithful to a true God, to any conviction. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. Just like Jambres and Jonas, which stood and was hostile to Moses, so these men also are hostile and opposed to truth. They're not going to get very far. God's preachers are rising up, preaching against these people. Let us walk this day thankful unto God. And if we walk in thankful unto God, we'll shun all evil and we'll stand against it and we'll declare it boldly. Heavenly Father, as we come before you,